We're on Gimel and Aleph, 11 lines down, the second last word on the line, where it says, Ela Kach. The Gemara yesterday began to relate the judgment of the other nations at the end of days, how God will reveal himself holding a Sefer Torah, and Hashem will say, whoever has kept this can now come and collect his due reward. The Gemara related how the other nations will make a feeble attempt to claim that their actions in this world facilitated Torah study. Our accomplishments, the things we built, enable the Jewish people to study the Torah. But Hashem will reject their claim, pointing out the reality that everything they did was selfishly motivated, not for the Jewish people. The other nations will then try to claim that it's not fair, because if we had been given the Torah, then we would have kept it. But Hashem will reject that claim too, based on the fact that they couldn't even live up to the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, the basic seven laws that apply to all of humanity. So there's no reason to assume that they would be able to fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Daftei continues with the nations presenting a new argument to perhaps redeem themselves. So instead, they will try the following. They will say, Rabbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Yisrael shekiblua heichen kaimua. The nation of Yisrael who did accept the Torah, how did they keep the Torah? Where's the evidence that they did keep the Torah? That they should now, in these future times, be should now the primary beneficiaries of reward. But how do we know they fulfilled the Torah? Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will say to the nations, Ani meyed bahem shekiimu asa Torah kula. All I can testify that they fulfilled the entire Torah. The other nations will then point out a technical problem with having Hashem testify about Yisrael. Amr Lefana will say for Hashem, Rabbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Klum Yesh Av Shemeyed Al Beno. But can a father testify for a son? Of course we know. A father is not qualified to testify for a son. And you, Hashem, are considered father of this special relationship with Yisrael, Dechsiv, as we find in many places, for example, the Pasuk Bini V'chori Yisrael, where God describes the Jewish people as my firstborn son. So a father can't testify for a son, so there's a technical problem with you, Hashem, testifying about Yisrael. And therefore, Amar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hashem said, fine, Shemayim V'aretz Yidu Bahem, Shekimu HaSatara Kula. Let the heavens and the earth testify that the Jewish people fulfilled the Torah. Omrim Lefanav, nations will say before him, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Shemayim Va'aretz, Nogin Ve'edusan. It's a similar problem with the heavens and the earth. They too are biased in such testimony. They have their own vested interest in this question of whether Yisrael fulfilled the Torah. How is that? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Yimlo v'risi, Omam v'loi l'chukos, Shemayim v'aretz lo somti, were it not for my covenant, meaning the Torah with the Jewish people, the very laws of the heavens and earth would not have been established. Which means that God made the continued existence of heavens and earth, of the world as we know it, contingent on the Jewish people accepting the Torah. And likewise, V'yom Reb Shimon Lakish, Shimon Lakish echoed this, he explained, Mai dechsiv, what is the meaning of the pasuk when relating Maisa Bereishis, the creation of the world, and the Torah says there, Vayera vayivoker yom ha-shishi, it was night, it was the morning, it was the sixth day of Maisa Bereishis. Rish Lakish's focus is on the letter He, the sixth day. What is the sixth day? Rish Lakish darshan's melamed shehisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Maisa Bereishis, teaching us that Hashem made a stipulation with creation itself, Yomar. Hashem said, Im Yisrael mekavlin es torasi mutav. If on that fateful day, the sixth, meaning the sixth of Sivan, the day of Matan Torah, if Yisrael rises up and does accept the Torah on that day, then mutav, then fine. I will allow you, O heavens and earth, to continue to exist. V'yim lav. If not, if it doesn't work out, if Yisrael doesn't accept the Torah, and yachse eschem l'sovavo, then I'll return you, Hashem said to all of creation, to utter nothingness, to what it was before creation. The Gemara says, in addition, v'haynu demar chizkia, chizkia echoed this teaching. Chizkia said as follows, Mai dechsiv, what is the meaning of the following pasuk in Tehillim, Ayin Vav, which says, Mishamayim ishmata din eretz yara v'shakata, from heaven you made it heard, meaning you made the Torah heard. Rashi says, it's referring to Matan Torah. When the Torah was brought to the world on that day, the earth itself was yara, was very afraid, and then it became calm. So the question is, Im Yara Lama Shakata, Im Shakata Lama Yara. These seem to be contradictory emotions. Was the earth afraid or calm? Ella, rather it means, Betchila Yara. Initially, the earth was very afraid, not knowing whether Yisrael would accept the Torah. For if they would not, then the earth would cease to exist. Levasov, in the end, when the earth perceived that Yisrael did accept the Torah Shakata, it became calm. So the same idea as in the previous teachings. Therefore, the nations will point out, we can't have the heavens and earth testify to Yisrael's integrity, to their fulfillment of the Torah either. For they are deeply biased here. They're going to be gone if it's not true that Yisrael kept the Torah. So far, there didn't appear to be a satisfactory way to present testimony that the Jewish people were faithful to the Torah. So Amar Lama Kadosh Baruch Hu, therefore Hashem said to them, to the nations, well then, Michem Yavau V'yayidu Ban B'Yisrael Shekimu Satar Kula. Let representatives from your people, from the other nations, testify that throughout the different generations, the Jewish people fulfilled the entire Torah. That is, Yavo Nimrod V'yayid B'Avram Shalav El Avodas Kochavim. Let Nimrod come forward. He witnessed how Avraham refused to serve an idol, no matter what, even to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Yavo Lavan v'yoyed b'Yakov, shlo nechshed al gezel. And let Lavan testify about our forefather Yaakov, that he had perfect integrity, even though he was greatly tested by Lavan in this regard. And Tavo Eshes Potifera v'toyed b'Yosef, shlo nechshed al avera. And let Potiphar's wife testify that Yosef remained faithful. He did not sin with her. And Yavo Nebuchadnezzar v'yoyed v'chanani mishal v'azariah shelo ishtachavu l'tzelem. And let Nebuchadnezzar come and testify about the famous event of Hanani mishal v'azariah, who refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, and therefore they were thrown into a furnace. And Yavo Daryavesh v'yoyed v'daniel shelo bitel esatfila. Let Daryavesh come and testify about Daniel, that he refused to stop tefillah, to stop praying to the true God. He wouldn't give in to Daryavesh that he should start praying to Daryavesh. And therefore Daniel was thrown into a cave with lions. Yavo Bilda Dashuchi v'tzofar namasim elifaz ha-teimani. These were the companions of Iov, prophets of the other nations. V'yayidu b'ayim b'Yisrael shekimu as kol ha-tar kula. Let them testify that the nation of Yisrael fulfilled the entire Torah. Shenemar, and this event of how ultimately the other nations themselves will testify that the Jews fulfilled the Torah is encapsulated in this pasuk in Yeshaya that we saw yesterday. It says, Yitnu Eideyam V'yitztaku. They will bring their witnesses, the other nations themselves will bring their witnesses, and through them testify to the righteousness of Yisrael. The other nations, though, will still try to grab at something, Amr Lefanov. Then they'll try to say before Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Tino Lanu Mirosh V'Nasena, give us a chance now. Give us the Torah anew, and we'll show you, we'll do it, we'll fulfill it. Amr Lehna Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Shebolam. Fools, that's not the way it works. Mishitarach be'erev Shabbos, yochel b'Shabbos. Explaining through the metaphor of preparing food for Shabbos, it says if somebody works before Shabbos to make a nice Shabbos, then he'll eat, he'll have good food on Shabbos. Mishalo tarach be'erev Shabbos, one who didn't get the food ready before Shabbos, mehechin yochel b'Shabbos. How will he be able to eat on Shabbos? It's too late. He can't cook the food now on Shabbos. So really, Hashem said, I have the right to simply ignore this argument, which is an argument of folly. It misses the whole point of life, that it's only possible to accomplish what needs to be accomplished while we're in this world. You can't wait till the next world. But Hashem continued, Ella afal pk. Nonetheless, I will agree to your request. Let us see if you have the character, the willingness to fulfill the Torah. Mitzvah kala yesh. They have a very easy mitzvah. Let me tell you about it. V'sukkah shma. It's called sukkah. One of the mitzvahs of the Torah is to dwell in a temporary booth, like a makeshift, you know, not proper kind of dwelling, for the 7 days of the holiday of Sukkot. So let's see if you're up to keeping the mitzvahs. L'chu v'asu asa. Go and make yourselves a sukkah, and let's see what happens. Before continuing in the narrative, the Gemara says, "Umi matzu samar tachi." Why indeed does Hashem give them this chance here? V'ham Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, in light of the statement of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, he said, "Mai dechsev." What do we learn from the following pasuk, which says, "Asher anochi mitzavecha ayom lasosam," says that you should keep the mitzvahs which I command you today to do them. We learn from this language that Torah is saying, similar to what we said above with the metaphor of that you have to prepare before Shabbos, This pasuk here alludes to that Hayom la'asosam, the mitzvahs are here to do today, v'lo l'machar la'asosam, not for tomorrow, not when a person's life is already over. At that point, it's too late. And the converse of this is Hayom la'asosam. Today the job is to do, v'lo hayom litol schar. The purpose of today, of this world, is not to receive the reward. That's the purpose of the next world. So it's this world to do, and the next world to receive the reward. Just like, again, the metaphor of Erev Shabbos to do, to prepare, and on Shabbos to enjoy the fruits of that labor. So why indeed did Hashem, you know, take up the offer of the nations here? The Gemara says that even though it's true that by rights Hashem did not, you know, have to even listen to this argument, you know, according to the attribute of strict justice, they had no argument here. Ela she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba be'atrunya yimbriosof. However, Hashem never tries to find a way to apply the strict justice, just the opposite. If Hashem sees a possibility to give someone a chance, even a second chance or a third chance, or who knows how many chances, it is Hashem's way out of his attribute of mercy to give a person a second chance or more. And therefore Hashem decided to put their argument to the test. Okay, let's see. Maybe you will be able to observe the Torah. Maybe you could prove yourself now. We'll put it to the test with this mitzvah kala, this light mitzvah of dwelling in a sukkah. The Gemara explains, "V'amai kari le mitzvah kala." Why is the mitzvah of sukkah characterized as a very light, easy mitzvah? The Gemara explains, "Mishum de les bechisaron kis," because it's not particularly expensive. You get some wood, put a little, you know, plant, some schach on top, and that's the only real expense. And the mitzvah entails just simply, you know, dwelling in that sukkah for the holiday of Sukkot. And so, miyad kol echad ve'echanoto v'holech v'osa sukkah v'rosh gago. All the people from the other nations started with enthusiasm. They started to, you know, they each made a sukkah on their rooftops to try and, you know, maybe prove themselves. V'yakadosh baruch hu makdir aleihem chama b'tekuvas tamos. Hashem then caused the piercing hot sun to emerge. He made this, like, you know, boiling weather of the summer as if it was in the middle of Tammuz. So it wasn't so comfortable to sit in the sukkah. And what happened? Each one of them, these people of the other nations, kicked the sukkah and left the sukkah. He said, I don't need this. I can't sit in this, you know, boiling hot sukkah. And each one, you know, cast off the mitzvah. Shenemar is alluded to in Tehillim, a capital base there, which references this, you know, future back and forth of the other nations in the time of Mashiach, at the end of days, by the final redemption. It says there, the other nations will say, Ninatka es mosra seimo v'nashlicha mimenu avoseimo. Let's cut the ropes and cast away these ropes, alluding to what was just related, how when they were put to the test, it wasn't so easy to sit in that sukkah. They indeed just cast off the mitzvah, proving that they evidently had not developed themselves to be receptacle, to be able to actually fulfill the Torah, meaning they failed that test, so, you know, their last, their hope, possible excuse, was put to rest. The Gemara questions of what happened here. Maktir, really Hashem's going to make it super hot for them in the sukkah to make it very hard? But didn't we just say that it's not God's way at all to try and find a way to punish a person? The opposite. Why then would God make it hard for the nations trying to, you know, prove that maybe they could fulfill the mitzvah? The Gemara answer is that no, this is not, you know, finding a way to, like, trip them up. Mishum di Yisrael nami zimni. Turning to Amid Beis, the mashchalu tekufas tamos at chaga v'havi lehu tzara. Sometimes sukkahs could fall out. Well, it's still the summer. It's very hot. Making the mitzvah not so comfortable, very difficult. And yet Yisrael did not have a reaction of the other nations, even when it was, you know, very uncomfortable in the sukkah. But the Gemara asks, Rav has said, the halacha by sukkahs is the mitztayer pater mina sukkah. In fact, the halacha says that when living in the sukkah, it has to be comparable to living, you know, in one's own home. And therefore, if it gets to the point where it's really, you know, a person suffering in the conditions in the sukkahs, it starts to pour. Or if it gets boiling hot, that would also be included. And the person is exempt. And even a Jew, therefore, would have every right to leave the sukkah. So how did the other nation's decision to leave the sukkah in these conditions, you know, show us that they are not up to fulfilling this mitzvah? The Torah itself, again, doesn't require a person to stay in such conditions. The Gemara answers, Nehi the potter, granted that a person in this situation would be exempt, he's allowed to leave the sukkah, or bi'uti mi mebati. But is he supposed to, is it appropriate to go and kick the sukkah? That was the telling sign here. It's, you know, what was the person's attitude when confronted in a situation where he's unable to fulfill the mitzvah? A Jew would be upset. I can't fulfill the mitzvah. I can't be in the sukkah. Sadly, I'll have to go inside. Whereas the nations tried it, they showed like a scorn for the mitzvah, and that's what, you know, showed that, you know, their attempt to argue that, you know, we could do it just like Israel if we only had the opportunity, well, clearly that was not true. The Gemara concludes this narrative again about this future time. Miyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Mesachek Aleihen. Immediately when seeing this, God will sit and laugh. Now that there's no way around this, God will laugh. There's nothing they could say. Shenemer Yoshev Hashemayim Yischok. As it says, it continues there in the passage from Tehillim that we quoted above, God sits in heaven and will laugh. And Amr Rabbi Yitzchak said about this, Ein Schok Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'osa Yom Milvat. This is the one time that we find such a concept that God will laugh. It only happened on this day described above. The Gemara now brings Ikka Demasli Lahad Rabbi Yitzchak Aha. In a different version, however, Yitzchak's statement was going on a different teaching. The Tanya was stated in a brisa in which Rabbi Yossi Omer, Le'osid Lavo, Bain of the Kochavim Mezgairin. Rabbi Yossi says in the brisa that in future times, the end of days, you know, when the truth is clear to all of mankind, the other nations will come to convert to Judaism. The Gemara questions this, but will we accept them at this point if they want to convert now, you know, once it's over, it's the end of days? Tanya says in a Braisa, Ein Mekam Gerim Limos Mashiach. The Braisa specifically says, we will not accept converts in the days of Mashiach. For obviously, they're only converting because now they see. Now it's clear that the Jewish nation is on the ascent. They're clearly the chosen nation. So now they want to convert. It's too late. Kiyotzeba similarly, Lo Kiblu Gerim, Lo Bime David, Lo Bime Shlomo. Converts were not accepted during the days of David HaMelech, and not during the days of Shlomo HaMelech, because these were like golden age periods for the Jewish people, and therefore there's a presumption that, you know, a person comes to convert, yeah, he just wants to be part of a nation that's now very powerful. It's not because he sincerely wants to fulfill the Torah. So the Gemara clarifies, Ela Shenasu Geirim Gerurim. The Rais is not saying that they're actually going to be accepted and become legitimate converts. Rather, Rais refers to them as Gerim Gerurim. They're going to drag along, you know, tag along with the Jewish people and, you know, outwardly practice Judaism, even though they will not, you know, actually formally be accepted as converts. Minichin Tfilin Roshayin. And so they'll do all of the things. They'll wear Tfilin on their head, Tfilin is Roshayim, and Tfilin on their arms, and Tzitzis Bigdayim, and Tzitzis on their, you know, four-cornered garments, mezuzah pischeim, and a mezuzah on their doors. But then their true colors will come out. For kivin sheroin milchemez gog magog. Once they're confronted with the terrifying events of the great war of Gog and Magog, who will try to attack Israel in future times, and these people who were tagging along the Jewish people will ask Gog and Magog, Ma basim, why are you coming? Why do you approach him low? They will answer, Allah Hashem v'yal Mashiach, we have come to wage war against Hashem and His anointed one, Mashiach. So we're coming to fight the Jewish people. Shenemar lama rokshu goyim elumim yegu rik. The passage in Tehillim chapter 2, again, alludes to this encounter of the different nations, speaks of this, the gathering of nations. Part of this will be the episode of Gog and Magog. Once these, you know, tag along Gerim hear about this, he will quickly rip off whatever mitzvah article it was that he was, you know, practicing with no desire at all anymore to continue being part of the Jewish people, afraid of Gog and Magog. Shenemar ninatkes misrosema, as it says there. They say, let's cut this off. They're going to throw it away once they see a potential danger, potential difficulty about being part of this people, the Jewish people. And this will, you know, put matters to rest, so clearly show their true colors. Kodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev Masachik. At this time, Hashem will sit and laugh. Shenemar Yoshev Hashemayim Yischak. As alluded to in Tehillim, it says, God sits in heaven and laughs. Rabbi Yitzchak, again, in this version, Rabbi Yitzchak said about this teaching that Ein lo leHakadosh Baruch Hu Sechog la'osa yom bilvad. The one time this will ever happen that Hashem will laugh is on that day. But the Gemara questions this. The Gemara asks, Ini, is that true? This is the one day that Hashem will ever laugh. But I, Vehom, Rabbi Yehuda Merav. But I, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, said as follows. He describes God's schedule, Hashem's daily routine, and obviously there's a deeper esoteric meaning to this. But anyway, he describes like this, that Shteimus Yeshos HaVeyom, there are 12 hours in a day, Shalosh HaRishonos, the first 3 hours of a day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev Osek B'Torah, Hashem sits and studies the Torah, Shinios, by the second period of 3 hours, Yoshev V'Donis Kol Olam Kulo, Hashem sits and judges the entire world. This teaching assumes, like Rabbi Yossi in Rosh Hashanah, who says that man is, of course, we all know the world is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yossi says man is also judged every single day. So this happens, Rabbi Demirav explains, during the second 3-hour period of a given day. And he says, Kivin Shirosh and his Chayev Olam Kliya. When God comes to the conclusion, the world is deserved of utter destruction due to all of their sins. Omed Mikise Hadin V'yoshev Al Kise Rachamim. Thankfully, God rises from his throne of justice, your pure attribute of justice, and sits upon the throne of mercy. And due to God's mercy, the world continues on. Shlishios, during the third 3-hour period of the day, Yoshev Vizanes Kol Olam Kulo. God then goes about the work of sustaining the entire world. Mikarne Re'emim, from the largest of beasts, horns of the Re'em beasts, Ad Beit Sekinim, all the way down to very smallest of creatures, for example, lice eggs. Hashem provides all of the creatures of the world with sustenance during this time. Revios, and during the 4th-year period of a day, Yoshevu Mesachek im Livyasan. God then laughs with the Livyasan creature, a massive creature of the sea, which is reserved for future times for the righteous. Says that God amuses himself, he laughs with Livyasan Shenemar, as alluded to in Tehillim, Kuf Dalet, says, Livyasan ze yotzarta lesachik bo. You created this Livyasan, Leviathan, to laugh with it. And it means, and whatever, you know, level we can understand this, again, there's a lot of esoteric meaning here. The basic idea is that God, as it were, derives great joy out of his creation. Livyasan is likely a representation of creation as a whole. God derives great joy from his creation, and he laughs, as it were. Which calls into question of Yitzchak's assertion above that there's only going to be one day where God will laugh on that, you know, day, the end of days, when the other nations are exposed, when we see their true colors. It seems from Rav Yudah Merav that no, God laughs with his Livyasan every single day. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Im Briyosav Misachik, it's true that with his creations, God laughs every day. However, v'al briyosav eino mesachek elaosa yom bilvat. But the notion of laughing about his creations, that is only going to happen once by the event described above. When it's at the end of the line, there's no more way to argue out of it. There's no further opportunity to change matters when the final destiny is clear and the true colors of the other nations are exposed. That'll be the one time that will have this concept, this idea that God will laugh about, you know, thinking about his creations. The Gemara questions that we said above, that every single day God laughs with his Livyasan. Amar li Rav Achla Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he said, but I am yom shecharav Beis HaMikdash, ein schok leHakadosh Baruch Hu. But I, it is known that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, God no longer laughs. The Gemara clarifies the question further. From where do we know that this is true, that God no longer engages in laughter, as it were, ever since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says, if you say the source is the following pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Vayikra Hashem Elokim Tzivakos Bayom Ahu Levechi Ulemispeid Ulekarcha, where it describes how God decreed that that day, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, shall be a day for weeping, for eulogizing. So this shows that no more laughter. Now it's weeping ever since the Churban. But the Gemara says, Dilma hu yuma vesulo. This pasuk wouldn't be a proof, because the pasuk clearly refers specifically to the day, to Tisha B'Av, the day in which the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But it doesn't tell us that that's true the rest of the year. The Gemara tries to suggest instead, Ella Dichsiv. Rather, the source is the following pasuk in Tehillim, Kuf Lamed Zayin, which says, Im Eshkachich Yerushalayim, Tishkach Yemini. If I forget Yerushalayim, then I should forget my right hand. Tidbak Lishoni Lechiki Im Loves Kerechi. My tongue should be stuck to the top of my mouth if I don't remember you, Yerushalayim. And the Gemara understands that this is being expressed by Hashem. So perhaps this proves that ever since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim, God no longer laughs. But the Gemara says, it's not clear from this pasuk either, for Dilma Shichacha Hu Dileka. Perhaps, okay, true, the pasuk says, God shall never forget the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Avol Sechok Miyayika. But it's still possible that God will be able to laugh also during that part of the day, to laugh even though the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It doesn't say clearly that God will, you know, constantly remain in this state where, you know, he can't laugh, as it were. Gemara says, Elameyat, rather, this is the source. The pasuk in Yeshaya, which says, Cheshesi me'olam acharish es apok. I have been silent this whole time. I have held back. So this already is a clear language of, you know, God being inhibited, as it were, that, you know, I can no longer laugh ever since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So the question is, if Rabbi Yehuda Merav's teaching is true, and the fourth period of each day is reserved for, you know, God to laugh with his Livyasan, but now that we're saying that God no longer laughs ever since the Churban Berevios, my Ovid, so now what does God occupy himself with during the fourth period of the day? The Gemara answers, Yoshev u'malami tinoko shel Beis Rabin Tara. God spends this period, fourth period of the day, teaching Torah to young school children who died at a young age, died as children. God teaches these souls the Torah during this period. Shenemar is alluded to in Yeshaya, where it says, Esmi yora dea v'esmi yovin shemua. To whom shall one teach knowledge and explain the teaching? Gemulei mechala v'tike mishadoyim. To those little children who have been weaned from their mother's milk, taken off the breasts. It is, whom does God set aside special time to teach Deya, to teach the wisdom, the knowledge of the Torah, Lemiyo bin Shmua, explain the teachings of the Torah, Legamule Mechal Vatike Mishadayim, these very young children. So that's what Hashem is doing during the fourth period of the day. Gemara wonders if we're saying that originally the fourth period was not for this, rather that the Hashem would amuse himself, would laugh with his Livyasan, so Mikara Manhave Migmarlu. So before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, who taught these Tinokoshal Beis Ramin, these young children who died very young? The Gemara answers, Iba Yesema Mitatron. Either you could say that the angel Metatron, who is Hashem's like chief angel to carry out his biddings in this world, either he taught the Tinokos Torah, or V'yibayisim ahav ahavit. Or, we are talking about Hashem here, so it's entirely possible that Hashem did both at the same time. That before the Churban, he would laugh at the Livyasan, and also at the same time, teach the Tinokos of Yisrael ben Torah. The Gemara now wonders, B'lelia mayavit. What does Hashem do at night? The Gemara says, V'yibayisim me'en yamama. If you want, you could say that Hashem follows the same schedule as he did by day, the same thing at night, V'yibayisim. Or if you want, you could say, Rochev al Kruv Kal Shalom. At night, Hashem rides on his fast cherub, Vishat Bishmonaser Elef Olamos, and flies among his 18,000 worlds. Shenemar, these 18,000 worlds are alluded to in Tehillim Sameches, where it says, Rechev Elokim Ribosayim Alfe Shin On. Pasuk mentions myriads, Ribosayim. So one myriad is 10,000. So it appears that we're dealing with 20,000. But the Gemara explains, Al Tikri Shinan Ela She'enon. Midarshan, you read this word Shinan as She'enon. They are not. So they are not means the minimum of they, the plural would be two. So it means take away two of the 20,000. So meaning the Pasuk is saying that God is among these 18,000 worlds. V'ibay Yisim, or if you want, you could say that by night, Yoshev V'shomea Shirim Mipi Chayos. God sits and listens to the song from the angels called Chayos. These are like the most upper level kind of angels. God sits and listens to their song by night. Shenemar is alluded to in Tehillim and Beis Yomam Yitzave Hashem Chasdo. By day, God commands his kindness. Ubalayla Shiro Imi. At night, his song is with me. Alluding to the above, how we described how by day, God is involved in bringing, you know, kindness to the world, sustaining the world, teaching the Tinokosh of Beis Rabban. By night, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, his songs, meaning the songs of the Chayas, are with me. Through my songs, I sing Shira to Hashem through the night. Gemara continues with another teaching. Omer Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi said, Kol haposek midivrei Torah. Anybody who interrupts, he stops saying words of Torah, ve'osek midivrei sicha, and involves himself in idle talk, achilen lo gachale resummit. Punishment, he will be fed burning rosenwood coals, which burn for particularly a long amount of time. Shnemar, this is darshan from the pasuk in Iyov, which says, ha'kotvim maluach ale siach. So the way we're interpreting it is ha'kotvim, they grab away maluach, which is like moisture, alluding to words of Torah, and instead of that, ale siach, which alludes to sicha, you know, pointless conversation. V'sharesh resamim lachmam. Their food is going to be resamim, meaning the rosim coals. And the Gemara says, Amrei Shlokish, Shlokish said, Kol haosek b'tara b'layla. Whoever delves into the Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech alav chut shel chesed b'yom. One of the benefits of that will be that Hashem will give this person a chut shel chesed, a certain charm. He will find favor in people's eyes by day. Shenemar, as it says in Tehillim, same pasuk we saw above, Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chasdo V'Layla Shiro Yimi. And this drasha explains, Matam Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chasdo. Why does God command his chasdo, that his charm, his special chayin, the special favor from him, should be bestowed upon a person by day? Mishum the V'Layla Shiro Yimi. The reason for it is the other part of the pasuk, because of the song that he sings by night, meaning the song of Torah. And since he involves himself, he learns the Torah by night, he is given this chut shel chesed by day. Gemara brings ikedi armor to those that say a different version, that Amrei Shlokesh Lokesh said, Kolo seg b'tara b'yolam hazeh, which is adoma l'layla, whoever involves himself, delves into the Torah in this world, which is compared to night, the reward for that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu moshech alav chut shel chesed b'olam haba. He will be given this special charm in the next world, which is Adom Eliyom, which is compared to day. Shenemar, we learn this from the same pasuk of Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chasto, etc. It mentions, you know, Hashem will give this person charm by day. So in this drasha, meaning day refers to Olam Haba, the next world. Why? Because Shiro Yimi, because he sang with me at night, meaning he exerted himself to study the Torah in the world that's called night in this world. Another teaching on this topic, I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Mai dechsev, what is the meaning of the following pasuk in Chavakuk, which says, V'tasa adam kidige ayom kiremes lo moshel bo. You have made man like the fish of the sea, like creeping creatures, without any ruler. Yehuda Amar Shmuel explains, Laman nimshalu b'nei adam kidige ayom. Why does the Navi compare man to fish of the sea? Lomerlach, it's to say to you, Ma dogam shebiyam, just as the fish of the sea. Kivin sha'olin liyabasha miyad mesim. It is true that as soon as you bring them onto dry land, they'll die. Af b'nei adam. So it is with man. When man was built, it was that kivin sheparshim midivrei tara mina mitzvos. The moment a man separates himself from tara and mitzvos, miyad mesim, he's cutting himself off of the source of life. And therefore, they will die if they separate themselves from the Torah and the mitzvahs. Or davracha, another interpretation, ma dagum shebiyam, kivin shekadr aleim chama miyad mesim. The analogy could also be saying that just like the fish, if the sun were to shine on them, they would die. Kach b'nei adam kivin shekadr aleim chama miyad mesim. So too, the sun should shine in a certain way. We'll see what it's referring to. On people, they would die. Gemara says, you could either understand this as referring to this world or the next world. As the Gemara now explains, you could say that it's referring to this world, as Rabbi Chanina said, Hakol bidei shamayim, everything that happens in this world is in the hands of heaven. It's controlled by God, by heaven. So whatever happens is because heaven, Hashem, decreed that that should happen. Chutz mitzinim pachim. Except, sometimes a person could fall ill due to his own fault, really. It wasn't, you know, specifically a heavenly decree. It was simply that he didn't take proper precaution. For example, expose himself to extreme cold or heat. If he goes out in the heat too much, he could be harmed, he could get sick, maybe even die. And that's not really, you know, b'dei shemayim, it's simply his own recklessness. Shenemar, as it says in Mishlei, Tzinim pachem b'derech ikei shomer nafsho yirchuk me'em. Mishlei says, the person who cares about himself will stay away from, you know, dangerous elements, like the cold and the heat could be dangerous. So he has responsibility to stay away. And so in that sense, it's in his control. And so one way we can simply understand the teaching above is that, you know, just like a fish, a person, if he exposes himself to, you know, extreme heat, then he could die. So he must, you know, take proper precaution, things like that. Or we could say, Li'olam Abba. It's actually referring to the next world, to the end of days, when mankind will be judged. That is, could Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, as Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Ein Gehenem La'asid Lavo. Says Rabbi Lakish, in the end of days, there won't be like a specific purgatory that we call Gehenem, Ela. Rather, this is what's going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chamim min artika. God will simply take this sun out of its sheath, so to speak, umakdir, and let it burn brightly at its full power. This is not, you know, the sunlight as we understand. This is a whole different kind of a light. Now, rishayim nidonin ba, the wicked will be punished, and suffer by this light, v'tzadikim misrapin ba. Whereas the righteous, the opposite, they will greatly enjoy and be healed by this special light that God will reveal in future times. The Gemara elaborates, Rishayim nidonin, tinamik tedalin amin aleph ba, the Rishayim, the wicked, will be judged, will be punished by this special light, this added light from the sun that Hashem will reveal in future times. And dechsev, we see this from the pasuk in Malachi, which says, "Ki hinei hayom ba boer katanur." The day will come; it will be burning like an oven, the burning sunlight. V'ayu chalzeidem v'chalaisi risho kash. All of the wicked people will be like straw. V'liat tosam hayom abo amar Hashem tzivakos. And the light, this burning day, will burn them up, says Hashem. Asher lo yazov lam shorash v'anof. And they won't leave a root or branch. Gemara explains, lo shorash v'olam hazeh, not a root in this world, v'lo anof l'olam haba, nor a branch in the next world. So we see this idea that the wicked will be destroyed through this sunlight that God will reveal in future times. This will be the medium of their punishment. At the same time, the same very medium, this sunlight, tzadikim misrapin ba, the righteous will be healed in it, they'll enjoy it greatly and be healed by it. Dechsiv, for the next pasuk there says, v'zarcha lachem yirei shemi shemesh tzedaka umarpi b'chnafel. It will shine, though, for you, those who fear my name, will be a sun of righteousness, and its rays will heal. So that shows us the other part of the teaching, how it will be a wonderful thing for the tzaddikim. Not only will it heal them, but they'll also delight in it. It will be pleasurable, very enjoyable. Shenemar, as it continues there, v'tzasem ufishtem kegle marbek. You'll go out and feel more healthy. You'll be like calves who are fattened in the stall. So we see that not only will it have a healing effect, it will also be enjoyable. It will add to their health and make them like enhance their well-being. So it shows us how the sunlight of this time will have these opposite effects, one for the Rishayim, the other for the Tzaddikim. The Gemara presents the Davarach, another interpretation of this analogy between mankind and fish of the sea. We could explain it as follows. Ma dagam shebiyam, it just says by fish in the sea, kol agol mechaver b'leas chavero. The next, bigger fish swallows its friend, the smaller fish, whoever is, the next lower one on the food chain. Af b'nei adam, people are the same way. That is, Omali Morosh El Malchus, we're not for any kind of fear of the government. If there's no system of government, where there's some kind of deterrent, some kind of system where wrongdoers are punished, without that, Kola Golo Mechavero Baleas Chavero, one man would simply swallow up his fellow man if he has the physical or otherwise capability to do so. It would be total anarchy and just, complete, vicious behavior. We're not for some kind of government system. Behind it, it's not. And this is the point that's made in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Rabbi Chanina Sagana Kohanim Omer, he says, Havi mispalel b'shaloma shel malchus. One should constantly pray for the well-being of the government, that the government should succeed. Why? Shel mali mara shel malchus. If it were not for the fear created by the government of having some kind of justice system, ish es re'eu chayim below, a man would swallow up his fellow man alive. So we should have much appreciation for Malchus if there is a functioning government that keeps society civilized to some degree. That's extremely important, and we should pray that the government continue to serve this extremely important function.
You've been listening to RealClearDaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.